Let us start with the peace chant from the Upanishads. Om Tachan Yora Vrini Mahe Gatum Yajnaya Gatum Yajnapataye Daivi Swastirastuna Swastirmanushebhya Urdhvam jigatu beshajam shanno astu dvipade sham chatushpade om shanti shanti shanti. We pray and worship the Supreme Lord for the well-being of all. May all miseries and shortcomings leave us forever, so that we may always sing in the sacrifices and for the Lord of sacrifices, that is Vishnu. May the medicinal herbs grow in potency, so that diseases may be cured effectively. May the gods rain peace on us. May all human beings be happy. May all other beings be also happy. May peace, physical, mental, and spiritual, be upon us all, always, forever. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Good morning and welcome to all of you. We have been studying this hymn called Sadhana Panchakam, Sadhana Panchakam, composed by Sri Shankaracharya, as the title indicates. It is a hymn that has five stanzas, and it is simply a list of instructions for spiritual practices, mostly Advaitic in tenor, but occasionally Shankara reveals his true devotional side also in some of the instructions. So far we have seen five instructions. First instruction is to study these scriptures, relevant scriptures, regularly. This is emphasized in the Upanishads. In the Upanishads, the Rishi says that we should never refrain from the study of scriptures, should be a part of our daily spiritual practice. Swadhyaya pravachanabhyam na pramaditavyam. You see that instruction in the Taittiriya Upanishad repeatedly. So Shankara's first instruction in the Sadhana Panchakam is Vedo Nitya Madhiyatam. Every day, as a part of our daily spiritual devotional practices, we should study some relevant scripture. Second instruction, it is not enough to merely study the scripture. What is more important is we should put into practice, translate into practice the instructions given in the scriptures. The scriptures give us instructions on what to do and how to do and what not to do. But we have to put those instructions into practice, then only the study of scriptures will be fruitful. So that is the second instruction. Taduditam karma svanushtiyatam. The same instruction we see in Narada Bhakti Sutra, the devotional aphorisms of Narada. Narada specifically says that we should study devotional scriptures. Bhakti Shastra Nimanani Yani. Narada also makes it clear that it's not enough to study, but we have to reflect on what we study. Mananam. Bhakti Shastrani, he says, devotional scriptures have to be reflected upon, to be studied and reflected upon. And then Narada says we have to put into practice the instructions given in the scriptures. Tadudbhotaka karmani karaniyani, Narada says. Bhakti shastrani mananiyani. Bhakti devotional scriptures have to be studied. Tadudbhotaka karmani karaniyani. The instructions given therein must be put into practice. But Shankara does not specify what kind of scriptures. He simply says, Vedo nityam adhiyatam. Veda can be the one of the four Vedas. Veda can be the Upanishadic portion. Some people chant good portion of the Vedas every day as a part of their spiritual practices. Or it can be a study of the Upanishads. Or it can be any scripture that is relevant to one's spiritual practice. So that is second instruction, to put into practice the instructions given in the scriptures. The third instruction is teneshasya vidhiyatamapachitihi. Whatever action we do, barring immoral, illegal actions, prohibited actions, we have to do all of those actions as worship of the divine. This is one instruction that greatly emphasized in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Karma Yoga portion of the Bhagavad Gita. Whatever work we do, we have to do it as worship of God and dedicate it to the divine, to our chosen ideal, as our humble and loving offering. That is the third instruction. Fourth instruction is to give up desire for sensory pleasures and sense objects. Why we should do that, we will study later, and it has already come, a part of it has come. The instruction to give up too much attachment and hankering for sense objects and sense pleasures, and also to refrain from doing kamya karma, selfish actions done purely with the motive of gaining some benefit therefrom. That is, kamye matis tyajyatam, give up instruction, give up attachment to kamya karma, selfish actions done purely with the intention of gaining some pleasure from benefit, from profit thereby. Kamya also means kamye karmani. In selfish actions, kamya also means with sense objects, desire for sense objects. That is the fourth instruction. The fifth instruction is every one of us here and everywhere, all human beings in general, have done a mixture of good and bad actions in the past. That is true for all of us. The proportion may vary. Some people may have done mostly good deeds. They are saintly people, close to liberation. Some people may have done a great deal of bad deeds and they are still on their path. Everybody is traveling though. No one is static. Everyone is traveling on their path to the same goal. The goal is fixed. You are destined to reach the goal of union with the divine, because that is our intrinsic nature. We can't escape it. It is everybody's birthright and it is everybody's destiny. We are bound to reach that destiny sooner or later. As Sri Krishna says in the Gita, Aneka janma samsiddhas dato yati param gatim. Every one of us is eventually bound to reach the goal of liberation. We can expedite this journey by refraining from unwise actions, or we can delay the journey and take a very long scenic route and enjoy things along the way and take our sweet time. It's our choice. But there's no choice in being our destination. We are bound to reach that one. That is the good news. That is the hopeful, positive message of Vedanta. Vedanta does not frighten us saying, oh, you will go to hell if you do this. That is also there. But the main message is positive. It says your goal is the divine. You are going to reach it because you are the divine. Tattvamasi, Upanishad says. It's not something foreign to us, alien to us. We are bound to reach because we are that. It's simply that awareness is masked, and that masking of the awareness of the divine inherently present within us has to be removed, and that is all the sole purpose of all spiritual practices. So papauga paridhuyatam, since we have done some bad deeds, if we had done only bad deeds, then we would not be in human form. We'd be in some subhuman form. If we had done only good deeds, then we would have reached the goal by now. We have done a little bit of both, or quite a bit of both. That's why we are in this intermediate stage. This is a good stage to be in, because as you study in the Kathopanishad, some of you are studying the Kathopanishad Wednesday evenings with Swamiji, you notice that it is only from the human platform that we can reach the divine. This human life is a springboard to salvation, not from animal life, except in rare cases. We can't count on exceptions. It's only from the human platform that we can leap to liberation. When you go to heaven to enjoy heavenly felicities, then you are busy enjoying. There may or may not be time or inclination to think about God, because there is so much pleasures to be enjoyed as a result of our good deeds, kamya karmas. But it is from the human platform that we can spring, we can leap to the ultimate goal of liberation. Therefore, we have to take some steps to purify our actions. We have a great deal of impressions stored in our mind as a result of past actions, both good and bad. And the bad impressions, negative impressions of the bad actions we may have done in the past are called sin. And that is producing painful consequences now. We have to purify our actions. Papauga paridhuyatam. That is the fifth instruction. That much we have done before. Now today we go to the sixth instruction. The sixth instruction is bhavasukhe doshonusandhiyatam. This is in continuation of one of the earlier instructions. Earlier instruction was, Shankaracharya said, kamye matistyajyatam. Give up hankering for sensory pleasures. Now why are we not allowed or entitled to enjoy sensory pleasures? A certain amount of sensory pleasures enjoyment is all right, because in the ancient order of things, in the blueprint for human life, kama was made a legitimate purushartha. A dharma artha kama moksha. Four goals of life. Dharma is the substratum for all activities. It runs throughout. Even if you want to enjoy good things, you have to enjoy according to the injunctions of karma. Against the injunctions of karma, we should not seek enjoyment of sensory pleasure. But we can seek enjoyment of sensory pleasure. Sri Ramakrishna says that no one will find a strong inclination to go towards God unless he has reached the end of his enjoyment. Those are his words. Unless one has reached the end of one's enjoyment, there will be no strong inclination to go towards God. That is, to reach the end of enjoyment means a certain degree of fulfillment is required to know that the limitations of sensory pleasures. That is why the ancient rishis, in their wisdom, they put kama as one of the purusharthas. Then, of course, when kama is there, artha becomes a necessity. Artha means money, wealth. To fulfill the desires, we need to generate resources, monetary resources. And therefore, earning income should be done, but it has to be done according to the rules of dharma, not through adharmic means. You should not break the rules of dharma in order to make money. Swami Vivekananda says, in his Karma Yoga lectures, money is not bad in good hands. Money can be destructive in bad hands. Swamiji says, go ahead and make as much money as you want. But keep two things in mind. One thing is, make the money according to dharmic rules, through straightforward means, and spend the money for dharmic purposes, to help other people. Thereby we purify our mind and overcome, get it out of the system, enjoy a little bit in the dharmic way and get it out of the system, and then you are free to concentrate on spiritual goal exclusively, or more or less exclusively. So bhava sukhe dosho nusandhiyatam. Dosha means defect. Bhava sukha means worldly pleasures, sensory pleasures. The pleasures of acquiring things, possessions, costly, expensive jewelry, car, house, and other possessions. And the pleasures that come from relationships, from raising a family, children, and having a spouse. And the pleasures that come from success in worldly endeavors, getting fame, name, recognition, and power and position, influence, all these things. All of these sensory pleasures, unless we have had a little bit of experience and satisfaction, we will be always thinking about it. Therefore, Sri Ramakrishna says, one should have reached the end of one's enjoyment. Then you are ready. Then you know the limitations. In order to know the limitations of sensory pleasures and why they can't give us lasting peace and joy, we have to do a little bit of reflection. That reflection is facilitated in our scriptures, especially in the Bhagavad Gita. Here Shankaracharya says, dosha anusandhiyatam, dwell on the defects of worldly pleasures. The way to find happiness is through worldly pleasures, one way. Through Brahmananda, the joy of illumination is second way. The joy of illumination is superior, is the only kind of true joy. The joy that comes through sensory pleasures is temporary, is beset with many defects. What are the defects of sensory pleasures? Why there are repeated instructions on how to give up or to give up sensory pleasures? That is the reflection that Shankara wants us to do. Bhava sukhe doshaha anusandhiyatam. Dwell on the defects of worldly pleasures, defects such as their impermanence, their highly conditional nature, and the disillusionment and depletion of senses that necessarily follows the enjoyment of worldly pleasures. In the Bhagavad Gita also, Sri Krishna says, janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anudarshanam indriyartheshu vairagyam. Indriyartha means sense objects. Vairagyam means detachment from sense objects. Why and how to gain this detachment? Not by force, not prematurely, then it won't work. It has to be an informed decision by understanding the limitations of sensory pleasures. What are the limitations that Shankara is hinting? The defects of sensory pleasures, the reason why we should not spend all our time, resource, and energy in pursuing sensory pleasures is nicely, succinctly explained in one verse in the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, sloka 22. There Sri Krishna says in one sentence, ye hi samsparshaja bhoga dukkha yonaya evate adyantavanta kaunteya nateshu ramate buddha. Buddha means a wise person, buddhiman. Teshu means bhogeshu, in worldly pleasures. Naramate does not take any delight. It does not attract him. It's not interesting to him. Why? Because of three defects. First thing is samsparshaja bhoga. In order to derive any degree of happiness from sensory pleasures, we should have access to sense objects. If I want to enjoy good food, eating good food, I should have good food. That means I'm depending upon external object or an external circumstance. If I want to enjoy the pleasure of wearing good suits, very expensive clothing, jewelry, etc., then I should have access to that. I should own those things, or at least I should be able to rent those things. If I cannot own, we can rent a tuxedo and have those things. You know? Enjoy for a little bit. One evening you can go and have a dance or something. Get it out. Sri Ramakrishna said, get it out of this system. Actually, this is what he did. You know, he had the pleasure, he had the desire to enjoy the pleasure of wearing an expensive embroidered, gold embroidered shawl. And he wanted to enjoy the pleasure of smoking that hookah with a long pipe. And if you wanted to enjoy what it means to put on a gold ornament around his waist, these two, three things he wanted to have. So he asked Mathurnath Biswas to provide those things. Mathurnath provided those things. And one day all these things, he got it out of it in one stroke. He put on this gold embroidered shawl. Then with that long pipe hookah, he smoked a little bit and he put on that gold ornament. And after a few minutes, he took out all of those things, threw them on the ground, spat on them and stepped on them. he tells, oh mind, this is what is called the pleasure, happiness of wearing gold ornament. This is what is called the happiness that comes from wearing embroidered shawl. This is the happiness that you get by smoking a long hookah with a long pipe. This is done, over. There's one way, rajasic way, to get out of this system, all the business. But we cannot get rid of those systems because it doesn't work for us. We are like Yayati. Yayati tried to do that one. No, it doesn't work. Because what happens is, when the desires arise in the mind, desire for sensory pleasures arise in the mind, if we fulfill them hoping that they will go away, no, they won't go away. They will come back with greater strength. They will demand more. Supposing I have desire to drink some soft drink, Coke, a harmless thing. And I want to get rid of desire to drink Coke by taking one can of Coke today. And like Sri Ramakrishna said, oh, I have tasted Coke. I don't have to. No, it doesn't work for me. Tomorrow the desire to drink Coke will come with redoubled strength. One can of Coke does not satisfy me tomorrow. To get the same degree of satisfaction which one can of Coke gave me today, tomorrow I have to drink two cans. This is how addiction grows. Six packs soon, I'll be drinking six packs of Coke. So that is not... we cannot get rid of desires so easily. It works for Sri Ramakrishna, not for us. So what we have to do, we have to take recourse to reflection. That's why Shankaracharya says, reflect, anusandhiyatam, reflect calmly on the limitations of worldly pleasures. What is the first limitation? Samsparshaja bhoga, Sri Krishna says in 522, chapter 5, shloka 22. Samsparshaja means, for me to get any happiness from a sense object, I must have access to sense object. If the mink coat, which may cost $15,000, is on the other side of the shop window, and I'm standing on the street side with no money in my pocket, I won't get the satisfaction of wearing a mink coat. I'll be looking at it and dreaming how nice it'll be to wear the mink coat. I must have access to, at least I must be able to rent it. So that access must be there. In the case of young Indian people, what happens? They come to this country, IT people, very highly skilled, very sharp people, come on H-1B visa, get a job with Microsoft or some company, and before coming to America, the parents shall have arranged the marriage in a hurry. Because boy is going to America, who knows what happens there. Therefore, marry safe, then you go. So, wife cannot come because of visa restrictions. He comes here, approaches the employer, I'm married, I want my wife to come, please sponsor my wife also. Employer sponsors the wife, and it takes a few months, if not longer, for the wife to join him. In the meantime, what happens? Atlantic Ocean separates them. Boy is in America, in Washington, or in Seattle, and girl is in Bangalore or Chennai or someplace else. All they can do is texting and email and phone call, daily phone call. Then there is only anticipation of happiness, but no real satisfaction. They're making plans, when she comes, what will happen, what can be done, where will we live, what kind of house we'll buy, all those things. But only anticipation of pleasure itself is enjoyable. When the pleasure comes, it is really enjoyable. So samsparshaja means the sense object must be available for enjoyment. Contact between the sense organs and sense object must be made. Now what's the problem with that one? The problem with that one is, this contact between the sense organ and the sense object is sometimes construed by the mind as pleasure, and the same contact with the same sense organs and the sense objects is sometimes construed by the mind as pain. This is nicely explained in the Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter. If today a sense object gives me pleasure, it does not give, it will continue to give me pleasure all the time. Any number of times, it does not. At some point it will change. What brings me pleasure today, the same sense object, may cause lot of pain tomorrow. This you can clearly see in the case of relationships. The changing nature of the contact between sense organ and sense object can be clearly seen in the case of relationships. My friendship or association with a certain person gives me a lot of joy today. 2 years later, in the divorce court, what happened? What went wrong? Same person, same person. This temporary, ever-changing nature of the play of the mind. It's all play of the mind. Sense object has no intrinsic capacity to give us happiness. Happiness does not reside in the sense objects, nor in the sense organs. It is in the mind. The mind construes this certain contact with a certain sense object as happiness today, and the same mind construes tomorrow the same contact with the same sense object as pain next day. Sri Krishna nicely explains it succinctly in one verse in the second chapter of the Gita, 14th verse, chapter 2. Matra sparshastu kaunteya shita ushta sukha dukkhada agama apayino anitya tam titikshasva bharata. Matra sparsha, matra means sense organs of perception, jnana indriyas. Sparsha means contact with sense object. Shita ushna sukha dukkhada, see, sensations of cold and heat, pain and pleasure. Sukha dukkha means pleasure and pain. The sensations of cold and heat and pleasure and pain are simply the interpretations of the mind of the contact between the sense organ and the sense object. What gives me pain today may turn out to be very pleasant tomorrow. This is what happens in relationships, especially in relationships in regard to food also. You can enjoy all the chocolate, cake and pizza and Mysore pak and cheesecake and everything nicely. But these very same things become poison tomorrow. We can't touch it. Doctor says absolutely no. No sugar, no salt, no chilies, no pickles. Then what to do? It gave me a lot of happiness. Today it's going to, today if I take it, it'll give a lot of pain. So that is one of the main defects of depending upon sense objects for happiness. So some sparsha jaba, that's one of the defects only. Second defect is dukkha yonaya evate. Dukkha yoni means they are the source of eventual disillusionment and pain. We are left with a sense of deep disillusionment. Oh, we look forward to pleasure with great enjoyment, with great anticipation. Anticipation is very enjoyable in itself. Anticipation of pleasure is very enjoyable. It will come. But when it actually comes, how much happiness it gave? It's okay, you know, about marriage also. Before marriage, lot of anticipation, dreaming, this and that, this will happen. When the marriage actually happens, happiness, it's okay. that little bit of disappointment, disillusion, the anticipation is built very high in our minds of pleasure. But when it actually transpires, it's all right. That kind of disillusionment. Then there's another thing very much more tangible than that one. In the Kathopanishad, when the little boy Nachiketa was offered all kinds of pleasures and enjoyments and enticements by the Lord of Death, Yama, you know, this little boy Nachiketa had the temerity to tell on the face to Yama, the Lord of Death, standing before him, look at this little boy, the courage that Nachiketa had. Tavaivabahastavanrityagite, he says, O Lord Yama, keep all these chariots and dance and music for yourself. Give to those who are hankering. I want knowledge of the self. That steadfastness, Nachiketa steadfastly refused the offer of many sense objects, pleasures, long life and kingdom and queen and treasury and music and dance and chariots and everything. He refused all of them and he says, I want only knowledge of the self. These are not going to give me enjoyment. Why did he refuse? He says two things, Nachiketa says, why he refused those things. First thing is, navitena tarpaniyo manushyaha. Vita means wealth. Wealth and everything that wealth can buy. Vitena manushyaha natarpaniyaha. A human being cannot find lasting enjoyment and contentment through wealth and other things. For some time it's all right. They give a lot of happiness. But then that happiness fades away and yields to pain. Navitena tarpaniyo manushyaha. Second thing is, if a person keeps on enjoying sensory pleasures without restraint, you know what will happen? The sense organs become afflicted. So Nachiketa had the insight, little boy, had the insight to say to Yama on his face, Sarvendriyanam jarayanti tejaha. All the sense organs, they become unable to enjoy anything after enjoying the pleasures for some time. They fail, their acuity decreases, and eventually they fail to function. What sense organ gave us pleasure today, and after some time, it cannot get any pleasure, though object is available. Sense organ loses its ability to find pleasure in that object. So it is not a wise thing to depend upon sense objects. Therefore, Shankaracharya gives the instruction, Bhava sukhe dosho nusandhiyatam. The other defect, third defect is, which I should have mentioned, Sri Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Adyantavantaha, Adyantavantaha. First is Dukhayoni, first is Samsparshada, Dukhayoniha, Adyantavantaha. Adyantavantaha means all enjoyments that come from sense objects are limited in time. If you are happy today with a sense object, and that happiness is not going to last forever. After some time it will cease. Sense object is available, but happiness from it ceases to come. So it is a very severely limiting factor. Adyantavanta means everything has a beginning and an end. The pleasure coming from sense objects begins at a certain time, and then it is sure to end at a later time. The duration may be long or short in our reckoning. That is immaterial, but it's going to end. Therefore, the conclusion is, Sri Krishna says, Nateshu ramate buddha. Teshu means bhogeshu. In these worldly pleasures, in the happiness that seems to come from sense objects, a wise person does not take any delight. But it does not mean he is not interested in happiness. He is interested in the highest kind of happiness, which can only come from the self, Atmananda. Earlier we saw three kinds of happiness. What are they? Vishaya Sukha, Bhajanananda, Atmananda or Brahmananda. Vishaya Sukha is the lowest kind of happiness, so coming from sense objects. Very fleeting, highly circumstantial, highly dependable on circumstances. Things must be all right, otherwise there is no happiness. And all of a sudden, the whole thing can be swept, taken away from us in one fell swoop, as they say. What happened in Japan? Tens of thousands of people lost their lives and everything they had in the twinkling of an eye. This is why Shankaracharya cautions, Harati nimeshat kala sarvam. Nimesha means the time it takes to blink our eyes once, to open and close our eyes once. In the twinkling of an eye, kala sarvam harati. Father time takes away everything in 1 second. You have everything this moment, next moment you have nothing. You see that happening all around us. And yet we think things are going to work out for us, things will be with us permanently. That is the delusion, moha. So Shankaracharya says, bhava sukhe dosho nusandhiyatam. Some time ago, we studied some selected verses from Bhartrihari. Bhartrihari was a king, also a wise person, undoubtedly eventually endowed with Vairagya. He composed three poems, Sringara Shatakam, Niti Shatakam, Vairagya Shatakam, and we selected some verses from Niti Shatakam and Vairagya Shatakam, and we studied them some time ago. Two of them I want to remain. First thing is the fleeting nature of worldly pleasures. So Bhartrihari says, Bhogana bhukta vayameva bhukta tapona taptam vayameva taptam vayameva tapta kalona yato vayameva yata trishnana jirna vayameva jirna. Bhartrihari was a great poet. And he says, Bhogana bhukta vayameva bhukta. We set out to enjoy the objects of pleasure, but in that process we ourselves were consumed. What happens? The pleasures of the senses consume the sense organs and the mind. Everything, all energy, has been taken away from us, and we find ourselves like dried leaves at the end of our lives. The whole energy which should have been used for achieving the divine has been spent unwisely in pursuing pleasures with no net result, only disillusionment. Ourselves were consumed. Tapo na taptam vayameva tapta. We wanted to do tapas, but ourselves were consumed in that process. We could not find the time or energy to do spiritual practices. Kalo na yato vayameva yata. We say time goes, time doesn't go, we go. Vayameva yata, time, where does time go? Time is already there, eternal time is there. We are the ones who come and go in against the background of time. Trishna na jirna vayameva jirna. Trishna means the thirst. The thirst for life, as Swami Vivekananda says. The thirst for life does not quench. We ourselves were jirna, we consumed, our life is gone. In pursuing the fleeting pleasures of life, which cannot give lasting peace and happiness. Another verse of Bhartrihari on the same topic. Bhoge roga bhayam kule chuti bhayam vitte nrupalat bhayam mane dainya bhayam bale ripa bhayam rupe jaraya bhayam shastre vadi bhayam gune khala bhayam kaye kratantad bhayam sarvam mastu bhayanvitam bhuvindranam vairagyameva bhayam. Swamiji one time quoted part of this verse. Everything is in this world is beset with fear. Nothing is without fear. Supposing I reach the goal that I wanted to reach, I wanted to be elected president of the United States. Goal, I worked very hard for it. Only in dream. But let us, but we can dream, right? Now, when I am in the White House, I'm always, my mind is afraid that something may go wrong and I may be dethroned. That's happened to Nixon. And Clinton came close to this much. But somehow, by the breadth of hair, he escaped. So that fear of loss is always there. Youth is there, beauty, strength, vigor, everything is there. But there's always a fear lurking in the back of our minds. Someday I will become old and I will be unable to enjoy the pleasures of youth. Everything in this world, sarvam mastu bhavi, everything in this world, bhayanvitam, is accompanied by fear, beset with fear. Only one thing is grants fearlessness. What is that one thing? Vairagyameva bhayam, only renunciation, detachment, confers total fearlessness. Everything else, possession, lot of money can be acquired, but then always the fear of losing that money. He gives a lot of examples, we don't have to go into that. Conclusion is, everything we have, which is not intrinsic to us, which we acquire as a result of effort, is sure to be separated from us. That's the principle which nobody can refute. Anything that is not intrinsic to us, including the body, our reputation, our wealth, our beauty, our health, our power, our position, everything that was not with us, intrinsically with us, part of us, but was acquired as a result of effort, all of those things will sooner or later, all of those things are bound to be separated from us. There is no option at all. It has to go. Therefore, the fear of loss is always there. Even when we have the object, fear of loss is always lurking at the back of our minds. Sarvam mastu bhayanvitam bhuvindranam vairagyameva bhayam. That is the reason why Shankaracharya says, cultivate a studied and informed detachment towards sense pleasures. They're not going to give us happiness. For a time it is okay. If you have that desire, go ahead and enjoy. According to rules of dharma, kama is allowed. But once that is done, gotten out of the system, spiritual practice, divine goal has to be regained. That is sixth instruction. Seventh instruction, atmecha vyavasiyatam. We will not be able to complete it, but I will just introduce this seventh instruction. Atmecha vyavasiyatam. Strengthen your desire to know the self. Shankaracharya's seventh instruction is, strengthen your desire to know the self. Our mind and sense organs are constantly engaged with outside sense objects. We can examine. If you examine the movement of the mind, the thoughts that come into our mind, almost all the time, we are talking of anatma. That means subjects or objects other than the self. Only when we sit down for a meditation for a short time, we struggle to keep in mind our chosen ideal, whatever we have chosen to meditate upon. But that is only for us. As soon as meditation is over, then worldly thoughts come crowding back into the mind. In the Kathopanishad, Yama says that most people know much about the outside world and hardly anything about the self. Because the mind and sense organs are constantly seeking contact with sense objects. There is a very nice verse in the second chapter, first verse in the second chapter of the Kathopanishad. There, Yama explains this to Nachiketa. Paranchikani vetranasvayambhus tasmat parang pasyati nantaratman kaschid dhiraha pratyagatmana maikshad avritta chakshur amritattvamichyan. Very insightful verse in the Kathopanishad. Yama says, the five sense organs of perception, kani, the five input ports to the mind, all information, all data about the outside world comes through the five, one or more of the five input ports to the mind. These five sense organs have a natural defect. The defect is that they are constantly seeking contact with the respective sense objects. The eyes want to see something beautiful form. People watching all those things. What they are wearing, what they are eating, what they are talking, what language they are speaking, what work they do, what car they drive. This is what we are interested in knowing other people. I'm not interested in knowing about myself, but I'm more interested in knowing other people. Ear wants to hear something pleasant sound. Always some iPod or something is going on. And tongue wants to always taste something tasty, palatable. Something. Tongue is hankering for that one. Nose always wants to smell something pleasant. And the sensation of touch. Skin always wants to have some sensory satisfaction by touching something pleasant. The five sense organs are constantly hankering for contact with sense objects. Therefore, tasmat parak pasyati. We see on the outside world. We know what's happening thousands of light years away. Pictures come on the internet through the Chandra X-ray telescope and Hubble telescope and everything. What is happening in our heart? We are not aware of that. Antaratman na pasyati. Therefore, we don't see the self inside us. It is our intrinsic self. We are that, but it is masked by our desire, constant hankering to know about the outside world through the five sense organs. Kaschid dhiraha, a rare soul, wise person. It takes a rare wise person. Pratyagatmanam ekshat, succeeds in seeing the self inside. Gets knowledge of the self. How? Amritattvam icchan, desiring immortality. Avritta chakshu, reverses the focus of attention of the mind and sense organs from their tendency to go outside into the outside world and focuses all the attention and energy on the self within, directs it in a different direction, reverses the direction of the flow of our attention from the outside objects to the self within. Such a person succeeds in knowing the self. A rare discriminating person, desiring immortality, turns his senses away from the sense objects and then sees the indwelling self. External objects appear very attractive but divert our attention away from the self. The more we think about the world outside, other people and everything, the less we can think about the self within, our chosen ideal. We have to therefore strengthen our desire to know the self and not be carried away by the sense objects, which can only promise fleeting pleasures. So, atmeccha vyavasiyatam, strengthen your desire to know the self. How to strengthen the desire? There are certain things that we can do. We will discuss all those things next time when the opportunity presents itself. We'll say the closing prayer, then some announcements.
Om sarve bhavantu sukhinah, sarve santu niramayah, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kaschid dukkha bhag bhavet. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om, may all be happy, may all be free from distress, may all realize what is auspicious, may no one be subject to misery. Om peace, may there be peace and joy in our hearts. May there be peace and harmony amongst all beings. And may there be peace everywhere in nature. Harihi Om Tat Sat Sarvam Sri Ramakrishna Arpanamastu.